Okay, introductions and reintroductions. Do we have anyone new today that would like to introduce themselves or any reintroductions? Any announcements and reminders? I think we don't have anything that I'm aware of. Okay, so we can dive into the payloads discussion, and I'll mute myself so that the background noise is minimized. Oh, Carrie, so that's next week? Oh, last week.
That was last week. I'm sorry. I have not, can't seem to have enough coffee today.
Time traveled too. And you're Dr. Carrie, Dr. Lemoy?
I'm Dr. Carrie now. Yes.
All right.
Congrats. Unofficially, really, but officially.
Good job. That's amazing.
Thank you.
That I would share.
So let's see. We can start. We can continue the discussion from last week. I included the link to this, to the slides we had last week, Carrie. And I have a lot of background noise and expect to today. So should I just turn over to you to keep the discussion going?
Yeah, absolutely. And I can also share my screen again.
Okay, great.
And just sort of walk back to where we were last week. Do you want me to share? I'll share the link of the slides in the chat just to, so we have them. Folks can do their own thing. Let me share. All right, can you see?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. So we went through these examples kind of briefly last week. Oops, sorry, I stopped sharing by mistake. Once again, man, I really need some coffee today. I don't know what my problem is. So here are the slides from last week. And I think what we were trying to accomplish, or what I was suggesting we accomplished last week, is that we look at work on the self-contained payloads first and get these things out of the way in open badges. We know that there is still work going on these self-contained payloads, and that what we really just want to do is get this part of the modeling doc done so that we can get to other, the other issues about aligning BCEDGE with the LER. So I think you can, or someone else maybe correct me if I'm wrong, what we could do is maybe look at these again and then discuss, what we like about all of these and maybe come to a consensus about whether all of them go into the modeling doc, or one of them goes into the modeling doc, or a couple, what kind of consensus we can agree to that. How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay.
Carrie, do you have some underlying sort of sense of what would be the ideal characteristics to look for as we go through these? Or at least the points of differentiation that need to be paid a particular attention?
We can walk through them and I can point out the differentiations.
Okay.
That's a really good question. Well, I was looking through our use cases this morning, and I feel like we need to do some work there overall in gathering more use cases. So this is a little bit, I feel like cart before the horse, although I feel like also we've been staring at this same horse and cart for a really long time. So it's both. You know what I mean? So I feel as though maybe we should look these over as a group and reach some kind of consensus, or you could all tell me that no, let's just set this aside and move on. It's my goal just to get us somewhere, help us get somewhere with all of this. Maybe even today we could just talk about what we like and don't like about all of these examples. So how about I just go through the examples one by one, and then we could talk about them. Maybe spend a few minutes on each. So we can start with this one. This is the LER example. This is the LER wrapper example. And what we can see with this one is it contains the verifiable credential properties, but it also contains some additional ones that are provided by the LER, which is this context file up here. And so then we have the learner record wrapper, which allows, you know, the understanding from a verifier perspective of name, description. And I think those are the additional ones here. And then this learner record, right? And we have this proof of control ID and this payload. And from this perspective, a verifier could come in and say, okay, this is a learner record. I'm going to understand, I can understand this data because it's here. But the things that we learned as we started analyzing the different, like how this approach was that, you know, there's some things where we have like the issuer up here, and we don't necessarily know if that issuer will be aligned within the learner record if the issuer is continued here. Also, we have like an issue date. Oh, we don't have an issue date, but yeah, we do. We have the date, and then we have this issued on in here. So there are some things that don't line up exactly right. I mean, this is a really great first draft, but there are some things that still need to be updated. And it's also, you know, a lot of additional fields that may not be necessary unless it is a payload that has a different type of format.
Isn't evidence, at least in the context of OBI, evidence redundant in the actual OBI defined data model itself?
Yeah, and evidence, right, evidence is part of like an instance too. And not so that's another issue, right? We have this learner record that's a payload, but the payload itself contains instance information, including
right.
the evidence.
Including evidence, right.
That's right. So this is one of the concerns, like why it might be challenging for a verifier to understand this model with an open badge specifically, like just looking at this from an open badge perspective right now.
Actually, right. Can we linger on that for a second? Because I'm not sure I got that. So why does that?
Only because we're looking at these from an open badge perspective right now.
Badges, how is that? Like, how would open badges generally do it? I forget.
So it might be more like the examples down below. So we have five different examples of, so these are all the different examples. So this is the one where, where we have some of the properties that are in the has credential.
Yeah.
So we have, we are using primarily the VC properties here. So we're treating the VC as the instance and the credential subject and the schema as like, say, the badge class.
Okay. And I'm putting myself on the queue after Nate too, because as we are talking, I have a tentative list. Pros and cons so far. I think Nate, you're talking about this example. So can you go ahead and go next?
Sure. I just, to Carrie's point around investigating the characteristics of these various different examples, the idea of this wrapper, if we just look at it at the what claim is being made, we have a learner record. There is a learner that is identified by a particular DID here. And then the claim is that this learner has a payload. And then the payload has evidence. And the payload has an issue date that potentially is separate from the wrapping date at the verifiable credential level. So as we compare this to other examples, sort of restating what we're seeing in the data in English, like this learner has a payload, that payload has evidence, that payload has a issuer, or I guess a type and a data, that could be a useful comparison to what we see next.
Nate, if the payload itself has those capabilities in it, does the wrapper need to restate that, or does the wrapper need to tell the relying party or the recipient that's processing it, what it needs to treat the payload and nothing more?
I'm not sure. I mean, I always try to think about this from the perspective of what would it take to build software that consumes this data? Mm-hmm. And if we're trying to consume the claim, this learner has a payload of a certain type, then you just build handling for that type, and as long as that type is standardized enough, you can get away with the sort of extra layer that you've placed into the structure here. But we may find other examples that have similar capabilities without needing the extra layer. And then the other thing to think about is with this wrapper idea is that there's many possible different payload types. And in order to be able, sorry, the train going by, very inconvenient. in order to be able to build software that consumes this, you need to be able to understand all of the different types that might exist that you want to consume. Otherwise, you need to be able to make it clear to users that they have a 1 in 10 chance of you being able to parse this payload or something like that. If there's 10 different options and your software only consumes one. So building an ecosystem around varied payloads is quite a bit more challenging from a user experience perspective because of how often you might run into user frustration due to incompatibility.
Good. Thank you. That's what I was expecting and wanted to make sure it was clear.
I like the way that you explain that the layers, Nate. and if we lived in a world where there was only one kind of record to exchange, then we don't need the extra layer. But if we're building towards a world where many different kinds of records need to be processed and the kinds of payloads need to be identified so that the system can figure out, do I know how to interpret this payload or can I just represent it? Then the extra layer is helpful.
Right.
And Jim, you were actually, I was going to propose that you jump the queue ahead of me because I wanted to start a summary of pros and cons. So go ahead.
Yeah. So I guess part of where I understand that there's tension around this because the LER approach is not as simple as it could be. And maybe we can find ways of simplifying it, I don't know that we can get around the notion of a layer that says that identifies what payloads are there or payload or payloads, and then you have a way of unpacking that. I envision that we can get to a place where we have translators that that can either plug into something like a learner wallet or be web services that a consuming system may say, I know how to interpret these 5 different kinds of payloads. If you have something in a different format that can be translated into one of these 5, then I can go to a web service that can do the translation for me and get the data back in one of the 5 that I know how to use.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that sounds very much like kind of having on the one hand a manifest and then a pointer to a resolver that if something does not in fact list in the manifest.
Let me start through a tentative list of pros and cons, and if we need to start iterating on them, I'll dump them into a shared document. Simone, that's a great question about verifiable presentation. I'm going to propose that we move that towards the end of the discussion because we're starting to get instincts for when we get off the rails and and that's one of them. So so coming back to the pros and cons. Okay, so I think that this is easy to bootstrap in terms of it's easy to understand how to jam existing credentials in there. And that also means it's pretty easy to get started from an issuer perspective. So I think pests, open badges, all these different payloads, you know, the LER wrapper spec makes it really clear how to get started. Cons. So at some level, all consumers of it need an interpreter to make sense of the payload. So that could exist in different ways. That could be a web service. It could be, you know, plugins or drivers in a wallet or something, you know, so that can be achieved in different ways. But in order to really understand the data for all of these different payload types, that needs to exist somewhere. I have another con as being evidence is confusing from an open badges perspective, which we'll, let's not linger on that because we're getting into that in the subsequent sections. And then lastly, I had as a question mark that the issuer role is confusing, but there's also that part gets kind of weird because it seems like each payload could also have a concept of its own, you know, authoritative entity. So maybe that's still confusing because those roles are unclear. So that con I'm less confident with. Before turning over, I'll also say that I think it's still possible that we do both. Like, you know, so I get what Jim is saying, that we could have these translators to help make sense of it. And, you know, and it's really seeming like a ridiculous amount of work for, you know, given the effort we're going through to open badges. And, you know, so I think the thing is, like, maybe we persevere on open badges and a few ones, but we can't necessarily expect all issuers to do this exercise. So maybe we need a path for both, like the backwards compat one, and ones who are doing verifiable credentials native formats, which would be, you know, certainly Anthony is saying that in his use cases, they're just going to be native verifiable credentials. There's not going to be need for a back compat path. Those are my summary of pros and cons. Carrie, do you have anything that you want to add?
I do, excuse me. I think the issuer scenario is a big one. I think because with the verifiable credential, we have this context of this authority, right? So how do we know, how does a verifier know who the authority is? Authority, I'm using very loosely here, so mostly because no coffee. Or is it the information in the learner record? So if this was an open badge and there's issuer information in here and there's an issuer here, and there's an issue date here and issue date here, you know, those are conflicts that as a verifier app, I wouldn't know how to resolve. And I think that's a big con in this approach. Well, for the self-contained ones, I think.
Yeah, the wrapper can contain more than one thing, so that each of those items could have separate dates. But I'm probably
right. Which somebody else, Jim, I think Phil Barker put that in the chat too. And then I guess, and probably we don't want to get into today, was do we want to have multiple records, right? And the VC doesn't, they guess they both allow for that. Or do we just want presentations to have the multiple records?
Right.
Or both.
Okay, let's see. So I'm gonna add back let me share this link that we can iterate on pros and cons. So feel free to add your own. I'm adding back confusing issuer role. So I noticed we have a queue. Carrie, I wanna ask you, should we work through the queue first, or should we, I'm kind of tempted to keep looking at a couple more examples of payloads and then work through the queue, because some of these will be questions that apply to all. So maybe pros would be if your questions are specific to the proposal, then go ahead, but otherwise we'll work through them, and then we'll start working through the queue so that we can, you know, sort of see the breadth of the examples first.
Okay. Why don't we, how about we get back to the chat then? And we can look at the other next example.
Okay.
This example right here, of badges as verifiable credentials, is very similar to this one right here that I wrote up, which is a prioritize open badge as a VC, which is, I forget what number it was in the slides, but it is basically saying, let me scroll up here, that the verifiable credential is the, this is as close to a native approach as you're kind of going to get without the LER wrapper. So this is, we are relying on the verifiable credential properties and straight up. And then we're saying in the credential subject, there's a has credential using schema. And in here is a badge class, which references the issuer, which there's still that issuer like confusion. But you'll see that there, the other information, the instance state is in here. And if there was evidence, my assumption is that the evidence would be outside or maybe within the credential subject. I'm not sure what that would be yet. But that would be not part of the badge class description. So this is the second one. And the other one, I'll show you at the same time because it's very similar. I did put it inside here, sort of similar. More complicated with all the embedded information, but still relies on the verifiable credential. And then it has the badge class data inside of it. Once again, just a reminder from last week that these examples of JSON-LD are not perfect by any means. They're just sort of set up as examples. So why don't I pause there and see, like, let's talk about like this, like an open badge using a more VC native approach is like our second example.
Nate, can I ask you to sort of give some discussion of that? I know you've sort of done it before. Thank you. You're up.
Excellent, and unmuted at the same time. This is the approach that I would probably most like to see in the world and then ultimately maybe blessed by a standards body for open badges, IMS Global particularly. Because I think it does a great job at avoiding the information duplication and it fits most naturally with the idea of a verifiable credential. This approach, you know, would be compatible, you know, complementary to other approaches potentially as well. But for this use case of a recipient has met the criteria of a defined credential, I think this does a great job and is much better than saying that this user has an assertion of a defined credential, which is kind of one of the other main branches of alternative for open badges. Because the idea of an issue date is already sort of, you know, it's a native thing to verifiable credentials. The idea of that there is an issuer, that's native to verifiable credentials. If we go with this route, all the pieces just fall into place naturally. And we could make, say, a parallel claim that this learner has met the criteria of badge class A and this learner has evidence B. And those are just two separate claims that go into the single credential that shows why this learner has met this example. Any other questions that you want me to dive into right away on, Kim, on just sort of the construction of what we're seeing here?
Actually, can you just clarify where evidence would be in this example?
Yeah, so I think the has credential claim is one claim that you make about a learner, and then a evidence claim would go right parallel next to it. And so that this, the block of the credential subject, the actual, you know, set of claims of the credential is the assertion, essentially. And the assertion makes a couple key claims about the learner, one that they have met the criteria of a particular badge class, and another that they have portfolio items that demonstrate that they have.
Great. P1?
Yeah, Nate, when the other key attributes in the badge, things like the alignment to an assessment set of assessment methods, or the rubric and all that, that would be also down there along with the evidence?
Right, so one of the new features of CLR, which is IMS's spec that has slightly leapfrogged open badges in terms of release date. It has a data model release that's more recent to now. They added a feature where you can put a rubric in a badge class, basically. And then from within the assertion, you can point to what, for each criterion on the rubric, what was the criterion level at which the learner performed? And so if we wanted to have that capability, then I'd see there would be sort of three claims. One is just the basic, you have earned this particular badge class. Another would be, you've got a particular piece of evidence. And a third would be that you have a result against the requirements in the criteria of the badge class, a particular rubric that you have a result against.
Right. So the degree to which you achieve that performance.
Right. And I think the same, the other use case that's really near and dear to my heart in education is the skill claim use case, where many different issuers might claim a person has achieved to some degree a particular skill. And I think that construction of this learner has a result against a particular target would fit pretty nicely for the skill claim use case as well. But that's not exactly the conversation for today.
I want to bring out something from the chat. Does this pattern allow for multiple issuers? Phil Barker asked, Carrie said it doesn't. So then in terms of the issuer at the outer layer and the inner layer, does that basically mean we just have there's a duplication and it's just annoying that's all sort of thing?
Are you directing that at me, Kim?
So there's the issuer ID.
Yeah.
I can take it too.
Yeah, I'll let Nate elaborate, but so we have the issuer in the badge class, which described really in open badges right now, describes who created this badge, what their email address, what their logo is. Like, there's all of this information. So it is more than just the did that's being pictured here. So they could be different. There could be that scenario where that happens right now with this. Would you say that's right, Nate? It could happen.
Yeah, so in Open Badges 2.0, there is no ability to have the assertion be issued by a different entity from the badge class. The only entity that is trusted to the authority on assertions of this badge class is the badge class's creator. And at some point in the future, of course, a capability could be added where we update that or extend that trust model to have things like, I, the school district who has defined this achievement, authorize this building to, this facility and its staff to recognize assertions of it. And then tracking that capabilities chain somehow out of band of an individual credential would have to come along with it.
Yep. I am putting some cons, and by the way, under example two, they're not necessarily cons. They're just sort of like, I don't know, like, for instance, I put this consequences more than anything. Like, this one requires an understanding of open badges properties, which really that's true for any of the self-contained ones or any of these, but just figured I would list it there as a reminder.
Yeah. So, we will come back to the discussions in the chat. There's a lot of good stuff in there. There's sort of cross-cutting concerns we want to get to, but if it's okay, we'll just keep plowing through and go on to example three. And then after we get through example four, we'll come back to the more cross-cutting things.
Perfect, thanks. This is actually like 2A, right? So this is also another model of a VC, Open Badge as a VC. And what this does is it actually inserts the Open Badges properties sort of within the VC container part of the JSON-LD, if that makes any sense. So you can see here, we have like two, we have duplicative properties. So we have issued on and issued date, issuance date. We have a recipient up here, but we also have a recipient in here. So that's one of the approaches, sort of like include all of the open badges information with all the verifiable credential information. And then, that's that approach to this one.
And Carrie, the specific thing here to note is that this credential, this blob of JSON, is attempting, I wrote this one, it's attempting to be an example of a blob of JSON that is a valid Open Badges 2.0 existing version assertion at the same time at which it expresses the same information in a VC. So if, say, the Open Badges spec advances and there isn't really a need to present a fully valid Open Badges 2.0 like hosted assertion or something like that, then we don't necessarily need to go to this extra effort. But if that's a use case that someone wants to do, I think it would be possible to do in the JSON LD.
Thank you. That was much more clarifying than how I just said it. That's perfect. I made a big red circle around like the proof as an example of how it could be verified either as a hosted or a signed badge, right? In this case, in this example. But either would make it a valid batch.
Right. Okay. I would imagine that that property may lead to some kind of sources of confusion as well. So let's see. I'm struggling to articulate that.
I think what I might have put on the slide for this one, let me see if I can get this. What is this one? So the duplicates verification duplicates properties. And so it has a potential for misaligned values is how I was stating that, I think.
Okay, I'll make sure to copy in your pros and cons from the slide. I forgot that you have those in there as well.
Okay.
And Nate, just a reminder, I think that, oh, right. I'm pretty sure that 2A and 2B were the ones in that paper we wrote ages ago, right?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, in general, the two approaches that we had in that paper, one was a claim that the assertion exists. There is an ID of the assertion, and that assertion is thus. And then the other claim is what we just looked at, basically, which is that here is a learner identified by some ID, and they have a credential, which is the badge class of the reusable part of the credential.
Excellent.
Yeah. You know, and I looked at that paper prior to looking at the modeling doc, and I think the modeling doc is just a little bit more modern, let's say modern, but more current than the white paper you guys wrote, where it has like has credential and other properties that have been discussed since the white paper came out. But they were very similar.
Okay. Shall we go through to example 4?
Yes. I'm going to skip just briefly again, show the next example, which was the one that was very close to the other one, which was prioritizing the open badge as a VC. And that's what this one was. This is very similar to the first open badges one we looked at. So we might be able to combine those two. And then I'll just go to the fourth reference so we can just get to that and then talk about it some more. So the fourth one was the simplest of them all and requires some work on the part of a wallet to actually go in and grab the data from the assertion. So the fourth one just says, hey, post this assertion. This is a verifiable credential and it's pointing to this assertion. You can go grab all the data out of the assertion and learn whatever you want about this verifiable credential. So it essentially says, hey, this is a verifiable credential. These are like who authorized this. So it gives that priority. And then it says the rest of the data could be here. In comparison, let me just go back up to this one, where it has all of the data in here. So a wallet wouldn't necessarily need to go and grab that data. The wallet could grab all of the information and then the verifier could decide if the information in the wallet is as current as the information in the assertion URL. So in this way, you would have both versus the wallet having to understand how to go get the data.
Okay, so this is really helpful. I'm still catching up going through and getting the pros and cons in there, but now might be a good time to start working through some of the you. Let's see. Okay, let me go back first to Phil Barker's point on multiple payloads. You'd queued yourself for that a while back. Can you talk to that?
Kerry did a good job of summarizing what I wanted to ask just based on what I put in the text. Are multiple payloads within scope? How would they be handled within, if they are within scope? And also, just a little bit of consideration for each of these examples, what the consequences would be if they were in scope. So I don't know if it's something that can be answered now. It was more sort of a question as to whether it is possible to consider them just yet.
Okay. Let's see, any discussion on that? Looks like, okay. Oh, P1? Phil, P1, if you're talking, you're muted.
My apologies. I was thinking with my eyes closed. I'm not thinking.
More people should do that. That's great.
But I know we wanted to put off the discussion about what a presentation does versus what an issuer does. But one of the challenges that's emerging is the issuer itself creating a combined multi-component credential. The CLR is obviously one example of that, but I can imagine others might want to do something similar for their own particular domain. I'm thinking in the HR space, for example. One of the questions it raises is if that's what ends up getting created as a multi-component issued credential that is signed, then one of the, I thought, principles of the wallet, which was to give greater agency to the holder to be able to pick and choose how their capabilities are best representing themselves from their own perspective, starts to get compromised, because if they're already packaged up in various combined ways, then they can't really do that. So I just wanted to highlight there is a connection between how the issuer creates their credentials as unique and focused statements on a particular topic, and maybe they create multiple of these at the time that for the holder, but that they don't necessarily combine them into a common single credential in the process, versus giving that combinatorial capability, leaving that for the holder to do themselves.
Okay, these are good points. I'm just making a quick section at the beginning of the things that we want to discuss, and we can start going through them soon. I just want to make sure we understand the sort of breadth of topics first. So, okay, wait, multiple payloads. Multiple issuers. Let me see. Okay. I think we had a question from David. So the issuer on the outside and inside, Nate wrote a clarification. It does mean, okay, the inner issuer is the creator of the badge class versus the outer one is the assertion. Quote unquote. Let's see. What else? Okay, I think we got to Phil. Kerry, I think you're up next.
I was thinking about the multiple credentials versus multiple issuers. In regular VCs, if we're not using the learner wrapper, we can have multiple credentials. They can go to multiple recipients, which I don't think we want to recommend with VCSU. But there is only one issuer in the verifiable credential. I feel as though that is the big, that is a distinction. And it's challenging, I know, because we have these examples of self-contained credentials and it's imperfect. But it seems though in the short term, it might be easier on folks if we just say, hey, one payload, one issuer, to help clarify, you know, that they should be the same. Or if we decide to do that, that the issuers and the payload should be the same as the authenticating issuer. I know when we get to CLRs, this gets much more complicated, as Phil was saying too, but my understanding of CLRs is that that's more of a publisher of a transcript of a quote unquote list of whatever transcript, but array of achievements that could be from different issuers. And that is different than what an array of open badges would be, right? And a verifiable credential. Because you could link a bunch of open badges from one issuer inside a verifiable credential if you wanted to. But maybe that is a case, right? That is a case, but also that should be a verifiable presentation case for the earner who wants to do that themselves. I'll stop there.
Can I respond to that?
Please.
Yeah, I think where I'm really concerned about is bringing together multiple distinct types of issuers, multiple distinct types of payloads. I see the badge as one kind of payload, a skills and or competency as a second payload, a transcript as a third. And I can understand how they are clearly intimately related as they all represent different aspects of a particular learner's experience and performance in a complex program. But the question that comes up is if they are all presented inside what is effectively the same payload, then that's where the issuer basically is telling the holder, this is how you have to present yourself from our perspective. And I don't believe that that's inappropriate as long as the ability is there for them to also be able to pick and choose. And that's the agency question I'm sort of concerned about. Thank you.
So I think in order of kind of how we should tackle them, let's see, I'm thinking, okay, so Carrie made some points that I think are interesting. Let's see, in terms of, okay, VC data model allows certain kind of combinations, you know, the credential subject array could have multiple recipients, but do we actually care about those in our use cases? And that's something we can go back and check our actual use case to see what's going on. Multiple issuers, we can clarify exactly what we mean by that. And I think some of this is what has been alluded to. I think that is a discussion that's interesting before we get to verifiable presentations. So multiple issuers, in our past conversations, what's caused a lot of problems is that we're talking about a lot of different kinds of entities. So we already, okay, let's talk about quickly about multiple issuers. We already talked about from a, sort of like, okay, given the VC data model as it is right now, what are different kinds of things that you could express? So in the VC data model, there is, let's see where it is. Let's pull up our examples. Let me pull up the link after I talk to it. Okay, so there are ways to express multiple issuers. One of them is to, okay, issuer is identified by a DID or by a URI, so it can be a DID. So one way, like if it's a long-term relationship among multiple issuing authorities, you can create a hybrid DID that applies to both of them. And then within the sort of DID document, there can be different signing keys for each issuer. And you can say things like the relation, things about like what's expected of the issuing authorities. Like, do you expect all issuers associated with that DID to actually sign the credential? Is it one of them? Things like that. The other path that we talked about, and I'll pull up the example for this, is that there is talk at the VC data model spec layer for sort of more dynamic associations of issuers, where within the issuer data structure, there would be a new type that would be like sort of some dynamic issuer type. And then within that, you could express who those issuers are. Okay, so that's just sort of like how you say, following your new nose, connecting the pieces. I think beyond that, we get into a discussion of sort of meaning of what we're trying to express there. So I think that a large part of our confusion or sort of this tension could be addressed by just being very precise about what we mean by issuer, and then teasing apart all these other roles that we're talking about, because I think many of them are not actually meant to be that VC issuer in the sense, at least that I think about it. And so I think maybe just being very precise about what this emergent definition that many of us working on VCs are thinking of, so that we can clarify that role compared to all the other roles that might be applicable, would be a good way to go. At that point, let's see. Okay, while I pull up the example, let's start. Carrie, do you mind switching to moderate or go through any of the chat that might be discussion points?
Sure. I'm not sure where I should start here. The new message down below. Would someone in the chat like to start maybe with somebody? You know, we have a lot going on in here.
Okay.
That was the understatement of the morning.
I should have definitely been drinking more coffee this morning.
Same.
Let's see. Well,
actually, I do have the example. Let me show you.
You're moving faster than me, please.
But I also need coffee too. So, okay. So we have already in the, this document, this sort of joint issuer thing. So we talked to you about, okay, one issuer. We didn't get into defining exactly what it means. So there's, okay, create a merged entity comprising multiple issuers. That's the merged, like sort of long-lived joint issuing entity idea. The other one is this joined issuer type, which is being discussed at the VC data model layer because it's not just us, so there's, I guess, a totally separate issue of, do we take this on here or do we sort of join in the broader discussion? So, okay, issuer. And then in that case, it would be sort of like this. A type. Oh yeah, actually this name doesn't make sense. It would be something more like some joint degree issuer. And then this could be something that we define. And then we say like who the participants are. But the difference between this and bullet point one is that this allows sort of more dynamic formations of issuers. Okay, let me go back then to the discussion, which I interrupt.
I'm gonna queue myself up just in response to this. Just before you move from this page, I want to make sure that I understand it. So my understanding from this is that the joint issuers could be like a consortium of issuers who have decided together that they are going to issue these credentials, but not that it's different issuers for the credentials themselves. Meaning that there could be separate credentials and each one is a different issuer. That's not what is meant by this, right?
Actually, that what you described is more relevant for the first example where it's like, let's see, I think let's pull this one up actually. because I think the intent of this one is that, let's see. Oh, Anthony. Anthony, are you here? I'm not sure if Anthony's here today.
I don't see him on here.
Yeah.
No, he's here today.
My thought is that the intent of this is that, you know, so I think that you could do that, but I thought the intent of it was for something where multiple signatures are in fact provided in the proof array. So it doesn't, nothing at the VC data model then talks about, okay, so here's another angle to get into. The VC data model just doesn't care. They don't care about us. So, so that's fine because they let us do whatever we want to some extent. So if we did this, you know, something like this, that's all linked data. We get to define what that is. We can say things like, okay, in this issuer type that we're defining, you know, through linked data, this is the sort of role, like here's who you would expect to see in the participant array. That's right, Dimitri, you don't care. So yeah, you can say like, you would expect both of these signatories, one of them, you might say things like, it might get into topics like they, well, this isn't exactly what Carrie mentioned, but you might end up saying like, adding new types or new terms on it, saying here are all of the authorities it went through before the actual issuance. So like while their signatures may not be on it, it might express something about like the trust group or the processes through which it got to the final point that it could be signed. So I think that there's that whole workflow around like what happens before it gets to the issuing stage, that the VC data model is really letting us do whatever we want. So that's where I think that, I think that's where we can just afford to be a lot more focus on the use cases a bit, as opposed to trying to come up with some blanket structural thing, because really it can vary. We have a lot of control. So I think like the problem that we've gotten into is we try to say, well, what about this? But we're not being precise when we say, what about this? So then we end up chasing all different examples. So that's just my take on it. So I'd rather us kind of get into some specific, like when we get into multiple issuers, I'd rather us just say like, what about these use cases with multiple issuers? And then we can start going through exactly what that means. So that's just my take on it, because I don't think we're making progress on the multiple issuers otherwise. So P1.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that it in many ways, one of the challenges is that we can't know all the different kinds of complexities of issuer type that we will likely run into. And for reasons outside of our control, political or otherwise, we'll have to somehow be representable. And so I like the idea of some kind of, much like we were talking about in terms of credential types that you can point to and have a definition that for each of the ones that emerge that is relevant and can be incorporated into the credential as a way of making that a dynamic thing, but start with a couple of clear use cases that reflect known credential types, or excuse me, issuer types or issuer patterns as you described them, so that we handle the things that people are kind of sensitive to and are needing to see themselves representative without closing the door on things we can't anticipate.
Yeah. Thanks. We're getting close to time. I think that next, I think we are at a state where next meeting, we should definitely go over verifiable presentations. Cause I think that now it's appearing that some of these discussions are just kind of blocked on the idea of the assumptions around publisher versus, you know, what sort of verifiable presentations does. And Jim Goodell mentioned if we explore other approaches to LER wrapper, making sure different types of payloads could be handled. I think the thing that I think a decision we can make as of today, because it will improve our way of thinking a lot, would be saying it's LER wrapper and other things. So I think LER wrapper is fine as a catch-all. It's out in the world. It handles different payloads. But I think that, you know, there's this other path that we're talking about for, say, open badges. So it has the downsides that we're talking about. And, you know, for something like open badges, maybe we want some more first-class open badge VC integration, and maybe other standards do too. I think that that's fine, you know, and I think that we don't need to make decisions that, like, we're not using LER wrapper anymore. I think we just need to be very precise about which are useful and relevant. I would be very curious to hear if that's caught, I mean, and I realize it comes at the cost of, you know, there's maybe that's more confusing in the world, like to say like, okay, this one is acceptable in these use cases otherwise, but I think that we will need that sort of other payload, other like non-JSON, non-JSON LD payload type. And we should just, you know, we have a way to address it already, unless we want to come up with some other approach that sort of competes with the LER wrapper. I would say that we just use LER wrapper. So in that, that's a good way to make sure that there's no discussion on those decisions that I just threw out just now. But maybe over the next week, let's talk about those statements and work through the verifiable. In next week, we'll talk about verifiable presentations. And I think we can continue to start teasing apart what are the paths that we want to support.
Sounds great, Kim.
Okay, thanks everyone. Thanks, Carrie. This is very helpful.
Yeah, I really appreciate the discussion, everybody. Thank you.
Cheers, everyone.